This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is John Duff. John, formerly with the National Sorghum Producers, with Cerro Ag, we still talk about sorghum and some new opportunities on the way. Speaking of new opportunities, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack explains the product of USA label.
To accurately represent what consumers believe it to mean. We did a survey. We know what consumers in this country think it means. It means everything done with that product was done in the U.S. It was raised in the U.S. It was slaughtered in the U.S. It was processed, it was born, everything about it in the U.S. And in the past, that was not been the case. All that was required was that it be processed. And so I'm very confident that there is no basis for retaliation because this is a voluntary, not a mandatory effort.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Joined today by John Duff. John is with Cerro Ag, headquartered in Lubbock. And John, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, as always, Tony.
Okay, first off, and you and I have had this conversation, but for those who don't know who Cerro Ag is, what's that elevator speech?
Yeah, so Cerro Ag Strategies is a company I founded to do to bridge the gap between the farmer and the consumer, and really all participants along that supply chain between the farmer and the consumer, as it relates largely to sustainability. Sustainability is something I've worked on since about 2014, dating back to my time with National Sorghum Producers, and it's something I still do in a number of capacities for National Sorghum Producers today. But that's what it does in a nutshell, that big gap between the farmer and its ultimate customer. I'm standing in that gap trying to create more value for both sides of that equation.
I think that's a perfect place to jump into the deep end here of something known as climate smart commodities. We've heard Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack, National Farmers Union, he brought that back up. Then again, at Commodity Classic recently, hitting that pretty hard with some other news there at Commodity Classic. And then in front of the Senate Ag Committee, where he tried to explain this again. Right now, it sounds like it's a big program with a lot of money and a lot of partners, but farmers still trying to figure out how does it really trickle down and help us? How would you address that?
Yeah, no doubt. I'd say, from a sorghum perspective, the National Sorghum Producers Project is really close to completion. We're really close to being at a point where we're talking contract details with USDA, and that's really exciting. It has taken a while to get there. It's a big program. There's a lot of participants. It's kind of messy, but sustainability is messy by nature, right? This is biology when it comes right down to it. And every other year, the good Lord throws a bomb somewhere into the mix and throws everybody off and throws everybody's plans off and changes things. And that's just the nature of what we work with every day when we get up and we foster live organisms from seed to food, right? And so necessarily this process and how you do it better and how you do it with less resources is going to be messy. I'd say that, and we can get into the specifics of the sorghum program, but I will say that the conversations that have been created and the conversations that were forced and those of us that are participating in the program, the things that we've had to think about and grapple with and figure out how we deal with have been very positive already in helping us move the ball down the field in figuring out how you get maximum value in the sustainability space back to the farmer.
Again, there's just so much there that it seems a bit overwhelming, but can we dig a little deeper on the sorghum side? Because this is a project I know you've been working on for quite some time. And again, with it being a brand new program, it's messy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, it is and it isn't. The sorghum project, I think, is probably pretty simple compared to a lot of concepts. In a nutshell, farmers have a menu of practices from which to pick. They implement those practices. We collect data at every step along the way. The farmer is compensated for engaging in those practices and sharing data with us. And we verify it at the end and make sure that the farmer actually did that practice and that data was properly cared for along the process. That's it. The process kind of ends and it starts over the next year. The ultimate outcome in that is one, the farmer gets some money to do some practices that have positive environmental outcomes on the farm. But more importantly, from a long-term strategy perspective, we develop a platform as a part of this that whereby the farmer collects the data, passes the data to another participant in the supply chain, and then ultimately there's value that accrues back through that data sharing to the farmer, right? So in our case, we valued our practices based on a fuel model, and we make this assumption that the sorghum grown under this program is made into ethanol and then sold under a low carbon fuel standard in somewhere like California. And the end game would be making sure that we have a process and a platform where the farmer collects the data, passes the data to the ethanol plant, and then the ethanol plant passes the data to the low carbon fuel standard. And the money that is generated as a part of that, selling a low carbon fuel like ethanol, makes it back to the farmer. That's the end game in our project. So it's pretty complicated, but compared to many other concepts in the space, it's pretty straightforward. Farmer does a practice, farmer gets paid, we collect data and create a process whereby he can get paid for that long term.
Now, for some who have been looking into the climate, the carbon credit side of things, and especially for those producers who might be growing sorghum in some areas where maybe they don't have the ability for irrigation, and looking at making some of those changes for what would amount to like $2 an acre for something that was really going to cost thousands of dollars per acre, just doesn't seem like the return on investment. But what you're saying, if I understand correctly, is not necessarily having to make major changes.
Yeah, I think that's the key. So, and then that's one of the cool things about our project is we are not touching carbon at all, right? In fact, our contracts are going to say this is not a carbon program, so that a farmer who participates here will be able to sell his carbon if it makes sense to somebody else down the road. Our program is an emissions mitigation program, and we look at all emissions, all life cycle emissions. So from the fuel that's burned to plow the field to the nitrogen that's put down on the field to harvest operations and the fuel burned there to transportation of that crop to market, there are life cycle emissions associated with all that, right? So the life cycle is all of those emissions from the production of a crop from start to finish, the life cycle of that crop. When you look at it in this way and you take all these things into account, the bigger value drivers and the bigger emissions drivers, I should say, inside the crop production system really are have a lot less to do with carbon sequestration than they have to do with you put nitrogen down on the field and there's an assumption in the model that it runs off or leaches or volatilizes at the end of the year, and those turn into emissions of other really nasty compounds like nitrous oxide and nitrate and nitrite. And if you put less nitrogen down, or maybe you put it down in a split application a little bit before the crop, a little bit after the crop comes up, and you plow less, then those things, those emissions, really, really add up in a big way, and they are worth a whole lot more, like you say, than sequestering a couple of bucks worth of carbon in the soil in the middle of the desert, if it's even possible, and then trying to sell it. So I think that's one of the big benefits of our program is we're looking at all of those emissions, not just carbon, and we're paying based on those and based on that difference between not doing that practice and doing that practice. And in many cases, it's pretty significant. It could be $40, $50, $60 an acre.
And the fact that I guess all of this is propped up by USDA, there's some stability there. How soon before we could start seeing things roll out, and where will we go to find more information?
Yeah, we're going to pilot this year. So 2023 is going to be just a very small amount of producers that will participate, and then we'll roll it out on a very large scale next year, looking at, 150,000 acres a year kind of numbers for the next 5 years after this 2023 pilot, with the pilot. And then long-term, you talk about stability long-term, I think the fuel markets are going to continue to pay, right? They're going to continue to pay these kind of numbers. And so beyond the 5 years of USDA catalyzed stability, there's going to be some stability that we're going to see in those low-carbon fuel markets that want to see farmers do these practices. Anybody that wants to learn more can go to the National Sorghum Producers website, to the Climate Smart landing page at sorghumgrowers.com/climatesmart, and communicate with us from there. They can always call me as well. I'm happy to visit with anybody who's interested, and we'll go from there. It's an exciting time to be in ag.
John Duff is with Cerro Ag and is based in Lubbock, joining us on today's Agribusiness Report.
United Ag is one of the largest association health plans to offer healthcare benefits for the agricultural industry. Their mission is to bring innovative healthcare solutions to agriculture by meeting their members' employee benefit needs. Join today and take advantage of the premier benefits offered by United Ag. United Ag is committed to contributing to a strong and healthy ag industry. For more information or to join, visit www.unitedag.org.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Chuck Grassley is a senator from Iowa. He's also a member of the Senate Ag Committee. He talks about the future of the SNAP program in the new farm bill.
When it comes to the Senate, and I think I brought this out, a $250 billion increase in food stamps that come as a result of changes that were made because of the pandemic and the national health emergency is going to be over on May the 11th. We go back to the pre-pandemic baseline of food stamps and add for population increase and inflation, and that's about all it should be. And that frees up a lot of money that Democrats are hoping to spend that there's no justification for spending, and we can either save that or use it someplace else in the farm bill. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that anything else in the farm bill is sacred except maybe crop insurance. One of the things we got to do to save money is make sure that farm payments don't go to anybody that's not what you call actively engaged in the business of farming.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
I'm Tucker Brown, a sixth-generation rancher, and I plan on seeing you at the 2023 Hemp Hill County Beef Cattle Conference, April 25th and 26th in Canadian, Texas, sponsored by Capital Farm Credit. As a young rancher, there are many challenges, and this event gives me powerful information, resources, and network opportunities to keep the ranch in the family and the family in the ranch. Register today online at Hemp Hill County Beef Conference website or call 806-323-9114.
Life doesn't come with guarantees, but working with Rob Seco comes pretty close. Our strategic investments in the seed we offer are designed to directly improve your bottom line. From full trait platforms, breeding and development, to field-by-field planning and seed-driven crop inputs, with Rob Seco, you have precisely what you need to improve plant performance and increase yield. Every farm, every crop, and every acre. Learn more at robseco.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, John Duff with Cerro Ag.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing, and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton. To expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
When might the latest round of USDA Fertilizer Production Expansion Program project funding awards be announced? And when might additional proposals be accepted by the Agriculture Department? Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack offered an update at the AgriPulse Ag and Food Policy Summit Monday.
We essentially, in the first round, took a look at 21 applications, and we're in the process of completing the environmental review of those applications. We announced 8 or so at the Commodity Classic. So I think you can expect and anticipate in the course of the next several months additional announcements from that round of 21. Then I think you will see additional investments being proposed sometime late spring, early summer, that will get us through the rest of this year.
The Secretary added that announcements but should occur later this year for funding of larger-scale, longer-term fertilizer production expansion projects.
There is a tremendous interest here, and I think it's incumbent upon us to see if there are creative ways in which we can meet more of that demand.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.